I'm Anna Carmo with UN News. Take-home pay around the world is growing at its slowest rate since the 2008 global financial crisis, the head of the International Labour Organization, or ILO, said on Monday. Based on the findings of the Global Wage Report 2018-2019, ILO Director General Guy Ryder warned that salaries are stagnating despite rising production and that they are an obstacle to economic growth and better living standards. In an interview with UN News, Mr. Ryder also said that men continue to be paid around 20% more than women, describing the gender pay gap as perhaps the biggest single injustice in the world of work.
The report, which is about wages in the world, shows that the rate of growth of wages around the world is slowing down. We're down to the lowest rate of wage growth, 1.4%, since the 2008 global crisis. And I think this should be a source of worry. It means people's living standards are not increasing as much as we would like. It means that wages are still growing much less slowly than productivity, which means that there's been a transfer of income away from working people towards other sectors of the economy. And I think that has implications for demand. If you haven't got money in the pocket, you can't spend money. If you can't spend money, well, enterprises suffer, investment opportunities become more rare. So it is a worrying report. The main findings are worrying.
You said that average real wages tripled in developing countries in the last 20 years, but they were much lower in richer nations. Why is this?
Beneath these totals, what we see, and it's again a long-term trend, is that whilst wages are growing more slowly in the richer countries, the industrialised north, if you wish, they're growing much more quickly in the emerging and developing countries. And this is not something new. This sort of process of double speed has been with us for a long time. And it does mean that we are seeing some degree, I don't want to exaggerate it, of convergence. That is to say, wages in developing countries are increasing more quickly than those in the higher income countries. And that sounds like good news, because we all want to see convergence around the world, but let's not exaggerate, because the gaps are still very, very big. There's a sort of slight movement together, but we're still a long way apart. And I think that we have to bear in mind that very often the level of wages in developing countries is simply not high enough for people to meet their basic needs. So we need to go a lot further than what we're seeing right now.
On the gender pay gap, has the situation evolved since last year?
Actually, this is the first time we've really focused in on the gender pay gap, but we can give you some sort of historical trend. We estimate the world level, there's a lot of variation between countries, but the overall figure is 19%. That is to say that women doing the same job as men still get paid 19% less than the men. And this goes diametrically against this basic principle of equal pay for work of equal value, which has been in the constitution of the ILO for 100 years, and which figures also in the United Nations 2030 Sustainable Development Goals. So this is perhaps the biggest single injustice in the world of work, and one where the international community has committed to action in the 2030 agenda, and where we hope that our report will pinpoint where we can make a difference.
In your report, you mention the motherhood penalty and fatherhood premium. Can you explain what these are?
One thing the figures show, and they show it very clearly, is that women in general are disadvantaged by comparison with men in terms of wages. But the moment that women become mothers, that gap becomes greater. So there is just simply, the figures show this, if a woman becomes a mother, she suffers further in terms of wage comparability. And the opposite is true of fathers. If you compare a man who is a father with a man who is not, the one who is a father generally has a wage advantage, and that's where the fatherhood premium and the motherhood penalty come into play. And I think this can be explained by the way that we distribute the responsibilities of childcare and child provision and family provision around the world. I think the way out of this penalty and this dividend is to look at the care economy, to look at the way that we reconcile our working lives with our private and family responsibilities. Deep, socially rooted issues, but ones that need to be addressed.
More and more young women are deciding not to have children. Do you think it's a reaction to this gender pay gap?
I think it's part of the story. I'm sure there are other broader cultural and preference issues involved, I've no doubt about that. But I think, yes, the difficulties that people face in reconciling their family responsibilities with their working lives also has an influence in this story.